Now I'm looking at my watch. That don't mean anything. I just want to know what time it is. Amen. God is good to us, isn't he? How many of you believe God's been good to you? How many of you realize this is the Thanksgiving season? Amen. That we give thanks every day. We should give thanks 365 and a quarter days a year. Amen. I want you to go with me once again to the book of Deuteronomy. We were in the book of Deuteronomy this past Wednesday night. We had fun Wednesday night. And I want to challenge you to come be with us this week. You saw the study. This week's going to be about Moses again. Then we have one more study on Moses, and then I'm going to change direction for you for another series of Bible study. If you go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, say amen when you're there. Amen. Think about it. I believe if there's one thing in this world that's needed in the church, it's the word faithfulness. I'm going to talk to you this morning about a God who is faithful. But I want to talk to you about why he's faithful, because he loves us. And if there's one thing that needs to be in the home, are you ready for this? It's faithfulness. If there's anything on your job or in the world that needs the responsibility of our community, it's the word faithfulness. Last night I was here and working on some things, and Rhett and Jason came in, friends of theirs from the campground came in, and they delivered a whole van load of stuff. We toted stuff, I don't know how long, but Jason's room, I'm thinking, well, where's he going to teach this morning? You know, but it was full of stuff to help people in need, and we thank God for that, amen. But it's because of faithfulness. And if there's one word that I would have to use to describe my God and what he means to me and to this world, it's the word faithfulness. Look with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy 7 and 9. Know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. Are you ready for this? To 1,000 generations. Now, God wrote that. He had the man write that down for you and I. And I'm so thankful of that fact today. Now, when you read that passage of Scripture, I want you to see something. Theologians that have gone to school much longer, seems like, than they've been on the planet. I know some guys that it seems like they're professional students, you know. They get one degree, they go to the next, they go to the next. They're always learning, and that's a good thing. You know, that's their calling, to learn and to share what they find as insight. But many of them that I followed after say that what you fail to realize is the author, Moses, is actually posing a question at the end of that. How long can you trust God? How long is God really going to be faithful? I heard a young man in one of my Bible studies. I was teaching a youth group many years ago, and he was trying to impress all of us with the faithfulness of God. He said, you know what, Brother Marvin, I found out God can be faithful at least 9 out of 10 times. Wrong answer. Moses teaches us that God is faithful forever, even to 1,000 generations. In other words, as long as you can perceive and comprehend time, God is faithful to you and I. Amen? And even beyond your imagination, God is faithful. He's a just God. He's a merciful God. He's a God of understanding and compassion, topped off with love. Amen? One translation of that same scripture says, know, recognize, and understand, therefore, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful, who keeps covenant in steadfast love and mercy to those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Moses was saying, I want you to understand something. I want you to get this, that our God is the only God that's to be worshipped. Our God is the one who for 1,000 generations is going to keep his promises and his covenants constantly. Why? Because he loves those that love him. Amen? And you know what? Not only does he love those that love him, he still loves those that don't. Why? Because he said he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever should call upon him could be saved. Amen. And that's crucial that you understand that in this hour. I want you to go with me to Psalm 136. You're going to help me preach this morning. Are you ready? Psalm 136, verse 1 through 26. You say, oh my God, he's going to read 26 verses of scripture. Yeah. Are you ready? Now you're going to help. This is where you help me, okay? You ready? This is your instruction. When I stop, this is what you got to say. His love endures forever. Okay, let's practice that. Oh, that's fair. Let's try it one more time. All right. It says in verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. Who by his understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights. The sun to govern the day. The moon and stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. And brought Israel out from among them. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great things and killed mighty kings. Sion, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance, an inheritance to his servant Israel. He remembered us in our lowest state, and he freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his love endures forever. Amen. Give yourself a hand. Y'all did good. In a world that is full of change, in a world that seems to be getting darker and decaying, it's wonderful to know that even in turbulent times as we are living, his love endures forever. You see, he is the source of ultimate peace. He is the source of our strength from above. He is the source of our comfort in our time of trouble. And we need to understand that when the world's decaying and falling apart at the seams, God stands for us, and that joy comes in the morning. You see, God has been our help in ages past, and he is always near those who love him. Amen. The Word of God contains a lot of assurances of divine faithfulness. In my text, it says, know, therefore, understand. Comprehend that the Lord thy God is God and he is faithful. You see, our faith rests on the faithfulness of God. You've got to understand that. Amen. Some people say, how can you trust God? Because God's faithful. How do you know he's real? Can I tell you something? I've got a guarantee. You see, if the word fails, then God's going to fail. But guess what? This word is never, ever going to fail. Amen. If Christ were to falter, then God would fail. But guess what? He is my solid rock this morning. If the word is untrue, then God will fail. But guess what? This word is truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free this morning. Amen. He said heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. God is as good as every bit of this word. Every one of these books, every chapter, every verse, God's got a contract. Remember that one word in my text, it talks about a covenant. Guess what? It's an agreement between God and you and I. And I'm thankful today for the covenant that we have in Him. So God is every bit as good as His Word this morning. Amen? He's not going to disappoint that one that trusts in Him. For the believer, it's a glorious truth. The Word is the pillow to rest our weary head. The Word is the stimulant to our fading hearts. It's the Word that braces our feeble knees when we become weary in well-doing. To emphasize the reliability, Moses says in verse 9, He is faithful unto 1,000 generations. In other words, you can always count on God. Amen? Think about this. You can't always depend on me. You can't always get in touch with me. Last night I was in the office praying and getting ready for this morning, and a phone call came, and I love these. Brother Gwen, have you got a minute? Yeah, what's going on? And that minute turned into an hour and 15 minutes. Amen. Be careful who you say you got a minute for. But you know what? At the end of that, that person felt much better about their situation. We began to talk about the blessings of God. That individual shared with me, said, Brother Gwen, I know that God is with me. I know through it all, I'm going to be all right. Amen. I'm here to tell you why. Because God is faithful. Amen. You can't always depend on your neighbor down the street. But can I tell you something? God is a God that will never fail. Amen. Think about it. We serve a God who never drops His guard. Sometimes we've all admitted in our lives we let our guard down. Sometimes we begin to get in our comfort zone and everything's going all right. And all of a sudden the devil creeps in and catches you off guard. Can I tell you something? You need to be vigilant. You need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You need to hold fast the profession of your faith, because we serve a God that never suffers defeat. You know, you've heard me say this. Sometimes we've lost a battle here and there. But can I tell you something? God's never lost a battle. Come on now. God has never failed. He's never let up. You see, the Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. How many of you have faith this morning? Well, can I tell you something? That faith will carry you so far, but there will come a time that maybe your faith become weak or weary. But I want to tell you something. He's still a loving, merciful God and a caring God that will meet the need of your hour. You see, we need to understand something. Our nature of the human race in this whole world that we live in is not able to say that. They have no concept of how you and I can have it all together when it seems like all hell is coming against us. Can I tell you something right now? My faith is anchored in Christ alone, and in Him I put my trust. I don't put it in the pastor. I don't put it in my fellow brother or sister in Christ. My faith is anchored in Christ alone. Amen. It's good to have brothers and sisters we can lean on. It's good to have brothers and sisters and a pastor you can call on. But I'm here to tell you, according to this word, you can call on Jesus anytime, and He will hear you. Amen. There was a reporter, you know, this is Veterans Day, so I wanted to insert this. During World War II, he was overseas, and he began to realize something as he was covering the war. All of a sudden, he looked in the wrong place at the wrong time, and a sniper's bullet took him out. He was laying in the bed of the hospital, and he wrote back to his paper in New York City. He said, I'm sick of humanity. Well, I want to tell you something. There's a time every one of us can say that with Him. Amen. I get so sick and tired of seeing the sin that's all around us. But just about the time you get your confidence built up in somebody, what do? They fail you. Just about the time you start to believe in something, that something you believed in fails you. This man had seen war. He's seen its ravages, and he became sick of it. But can I tell you something? God is not like that. Amen. Our God is a holy God. He's a trustworthy God. And that's why we can't follow after man. In every instance since I've been a Christian, I've watched people that have followed man and they've been hurt. Many times they've been destroyed. Men like Jim Jones and Sun Young Moon and David Koresh, and the list goes on and on and on. I remember the 80s. It was the time of ministry after ministry failing. But can I tell you something? In the midst of it all, God never failed the church. Amen. We need to understand that. I want to tell you something. God isn't like the world. He's not like that at all. He's a holy God, and he's trustworthy. That's why we can't follow these men. He's a God that is faithful to his promises. He inspired the writer of Hebrews 10 and 23, for he is faithful that promised. Who made the promises of all that we've read this morning? None other than God. And if God tells you something, can I tell you something? It's going to come to pass. We were talking about this past week. Brother Wade testified last Sunday night. We had a little bit of testimony service before Brother Tommy shared with us. And he said, in that dream, I saw this church full to capacity. Well, you know what? The last time this church was full to capacity was when his very dad had passed away. They were standing up two and three deep down this wall, down the hallway, out in the parking lot. And you know what? That's a great tribute. But he said, Brother Gwen, nobody had died. It was us having church. Well, I want to tell you something. God is faithful. And it gives us the assurance that what God says is going to come to pass. God's word is true. And that word will carry you through every crisis, every sickness, every time of trial of your faith. God says in his word, have faith in God. Now, Jesus says this. He says, have faith in God. Now, what he's really saying there is this. Get this. Have God's faith. Have you ever had God's faith? Amen. What is it, preacher? It's the faith that is steadfast. Have you ever noticed there's some people, they're like a rocking horse on a carousel. They're up and they're down. They're up and they're down. And I thought about that one night. That rocking horse is controlled by the whole fixture of that carousel. And you know what? A lot of Christians are controlled by the circumstances of their carousel. And as it comes, they get up. Oh, they shout for a little while. Crisis comes, they get down. Amen. Things go their way. They get up. They hit a snag and they go down. And it seems like a never-ending cycle, just like on that carousel. Well, let me tell you something. You can break the cycle that's working in your life through the power of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. You need to understand that. Jesus said when you pray, believe that all things are possible. Why? Because all things can be received by those that believe. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. So you can walk out of here today feeling sorry for yourself, or you can pick yourself up by the bootstraps, as they used to say, and say, God's got this. I'm not going to worry about it. Everything's under control. Amen. This year's been one of the most challenging years of our lives together. But guess what? God's got this. Amen. It is all decided on how much you believe God. You've got to have a willingness to trust God. I've heard people say, they go to the doctor, and the doctor tells them, I got a bad report for you. What is it? And they tell them. And I've known people that actually sit across from the doctor and laugh, said, that ain't nothing with God. And the doctor looks at them like they're crazy. Amen. I remember a few weeks ago, we took Mom to the doctor, to the wound doctor. The young man, he's a Christian. And he told us, he said, we got to get more prayer on this thing. That thing's got to close up. Been 6 months. I'm believing before the end of the month that thing's going to be closed up. What do you mean, preacher? I'm saying God's got this. Amen. But what if it ain't? Let me tell you something. Take your what ifs and get out of my face. Because what you're doing, you're sowing doubt. Come on now. How many of you have faith? How many of you have had faith till a good brother or sister show up? Some of you know what I mean. You're trying to believe God for the impossible. And Sister Susie here or Sister Doubter comes along and says, oh, God, don't do that anymore. Let me tell you something. God still performs miracles. Amen. I believe there are a couple in the making right now. I'm believing God's going to heal Sister Yule. I'll go on record of saying that. And the devil will tell him, yep, right. I'll prove you wrong. Well, guess what, devil? You ain't in charge of this thing. God is. Amen. Sister Wilson back there had a stroke some time back. Her speech was taken back by that stroke. But guess what? Wednesday night, I noticed she's getting where every Wednesday night that we take up prayer requests, it's getting easier for her to talk. She got shouting happy Wednesday night when I read my text. She said, I've been there all day, you know. I ain't never heard that kind of emotion out of that little lady. Sister Wilson, you made me proud. I was ready to have church. Amen. Sister Wilson, raise your hand. They're trying to figure out who you are. Amen. Amen. Precious little lady of God. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm saying this. You got to realize something. God is faithful to that he's promised. Amen. C.H. Spurgeon said, a little bit of faith will take you to heaven, but a whole lot of faith will bring heaven down to you. I hear people all the time. I get a little agitated. Anybody ever realize I have a temper? Amen. I've done really good, though, subduing that thing, Brother B. I haven't. I've kept it in check pretty good. But what I don't like is for people to tell me that my past was the best of my life. Best of my life straight ahead, folks. You realize that? That mirror in your car is small because it doesn't want you to really look back there. And you got that big old windshield staring you in the face. Why? Because your future is wide open in the Lord. Amen? You got to understand that. I don't know what the future holds, but thank God I know who holds my future in the palm of his hand. Amen? I'm not uncertain about those things. I'm not concerned about them. I'm not worried about them. But why? Why can you be happy in the times that we're living? Because I've got Jesus living on the inside. There's some people that tell me they have Jesus, and I want to tell them, go get a reality check.
I've got Jesus.
Really? I've got Jesus! Amen? Somebody said, do you always have to get so loud? Yeah! I'm an emotional person. Amen? I go to the ball game, I cheer my team on. Win or lose, I'm going to cheer for them, Brother Adam. Amen? And guess what? If I can go and scream and holler for a ball team, I can give my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ praise. Amen. We need to quit worrying about what everybody thinks around us and have church. Amen. I used to have a little cousin. Name was Emmett. If my parents, it was bad enough being named Marvin, but if my parents had named me Emmett, I'd have whipped them when I got of age. Amen. And he was a brat. He was mischievous. And I remember one time Mom dropped me off at my Aunt Jean's house and said, now you behave. I'm thinking, yeah, right. I get up with that little boy, we're going to get in trouble. And he decides he wants to play church. And we're up in the upstairs, and he sets up, he builds him a Bible stand and puts a book on it representing the Bible. And he made all of us sit around. I thought, I'm going to get him for this. All of our cousins were there that day. There was a bunch of us. And he says, in the beginning, I thought, my God, he's going to start at Genesis and go through Revelation, really? You know, we were all little. He was preaching up a storm, and he had smacked his hand on that book, and he had run a little bit. He said, run, Junior, and Junior would take off running. We were making a commotion. Here come my Aunt Jean up and said, what in God's name's going on up here? And he looked around, Mama, we're having church. You want to join us? She said, have on, have on. And she went back to cooking supper. What are you saying, preacher? I'm here to tell you, we don't need to calm it down. Amen. I noticed we're getting worked up a little bit this morning. We don't need to calm it down. We don't need to tone it down. We don't need to bridle the Holy Spirit. He's bridled enough by the rest of the world. We need to let go and let God have his way in our lives. Amen. So get happy in Jesus. Amen. Not only is God faithful, he's faithful in our forgiveness. Think about this for just a minute. Most of us suffer from guilt feelings of the past. But in 1 John 1 and 9 he says, if, now notice what he says here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you sin, unrighteousness abounds. But when you go to God and ask forgiveness, he can cleanse you of all of that and put you in a right relationship with the Lord. Aren't you glad of that today? Amen. The forgiveness of sins is the greatest blessings that can come to the heart of man. God wants us to receive that gift. God wants to bless us with that gift. Now, when I say that, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, I'm not giving you a license to go out and sin. I've actually had people tell me this. Well, preacher, that scripture, I can go out and live any old way I want to. And then I'm going to ask God to forgive me later on. Can I tell you something? That's the dumbest thing you can do. Because about the time you go with unforgiven sin, guess who's going to show up? An angel of death when you least expect it. And you might die without having that sin forgiven. And guess what the Bible says about sin? No sin will enter in to heaven. So you need to always keep it right. The word says in 1 John 2 and 1, I love this. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is that? It's Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. And guess what? He said, he will forgive us of our sins. I think that's so important. What we need to realize is that God is faithful when we're faced with trials. Every one of us have trials. Right now, I'm trying to get a lot of stuff done. Yesterday, I pulled about a 14-hour day, and my wife laughed. She told Jill, she says, he's in here, he's in there, and he's gone. He's in here, and he's gone. It was one of those kind of days, you know. But I got a lot on my plate right now trying to get some things done. And you know, when you're doing that, it seems like you're in a constant state of flux, and you're trying to get a lot done, and you're wondering, am I getting anything done? Can I tell you something? We need to realize that God will help you get through those times. Every one of us, I'm enjoying life. I'm 65 years old. Somebody told me the other day they couldn't believe it. I said, keep believing that then. Amen. I feel good for 65 till I go crawling around on the ground, rebuilding the fence gate and all that kind of stuff. Yesterday, my mom laughed at me once. She laughed a dozen times. So what's wrong? You still sore? I'm like, yeah, why do you think I'm grunting when I get off the couch? Amen. You know, we get older and we don't do certain things and you go and do them and all of a sudden next day you're feeling every bit of it. Well, you know what? That's what we do in our spiritual walk with God. A lot of times we don't pray like we should. Anybody ever been guilty of that? We don't read the Bible like we should. I told somebody the other day, they said, Brother Gwynn, I don't have time to read the Bible. Wednesday night we talked about the Jews, how they complained to God about to Moses. We don't have time to read the Bible, so we're going to just do this and this and this. And they justified what they were doing. Can I tell you something? You cannot justify not reading God's word. Amen? This is a guideline and roadmap for you to get to heaven. I've preached things and we've had people visit from other churches. And one lady said, I didn't know so-and-so was wrong. I said, why? My preacher never preached on that. That's the problem. There are a lot of preachers today not preaching on sin being sin, and they're trying to make you happy. Well, guess what? The Bible describes that. In the last days, they're going to flock to teachers because they have itching ears. They want to be told good stuff. They want to be made to feel good all the time. Can I tell you something? I feel good all the time. But sometimes it's a little harder to feel good when you're staring at somebody or looking at somebody who's just been told they've got 3 months to live or 6 months to live, or their family, the husband's left them or the wife's left them, the children's run away from home. It's hard to look them in the face and say, it'll be all right. But can I tell you something? By experience, I know for a fact, no matter what comes your way, it'll be all right. Why? Because God has made a promise to us. Now, I want to say this in all sincerity. Don't ever think you're impregnable. Things can get to you. Sister Patsy heard me make a statement many, many years ago after my father-in-law had passed away. We were going through a little skirmish in the church, power struggle with certain individuals. I made a statement standing right over here. After suffering the death of my father-in-law, there ain't none of you can ever hurt me again. The devil come along and said, we'll see. Let me tell you something. The devil never tells the truth. You know that? He'll give you a little truth and a whole lot of lies to get you to be deceived. I learned real quick, 2 weeks later, how quick the devil can catch you off guard. Amen. But thanks be unto God, we prevailed because we were right and God was right. And I want to tell you something. Don't ever, 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 ever let your guard down. Because the time you do, guess what? He will show up. Paul knew that in writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Amen. Think about that. God loves you. He's not going to allow you if you, this is the key, if you stay in him, the devil cannot deceive you. He'll try. He'll try to impregnate into your spirit doubt. He'll try to get you to begin to wonder if God's really who he says he is. Amen? But I want to tell you something. He will not let the devil tempt you beyond what you can deal with. Amen? And you need to understand that. He's not going to allow anything to come upon you that you can't bear. Oh, now, wait a minute, Pastor. I can hear you thinking right now. You don't know where I'm living. God does. Come on now. You don't know what I'm going through, but God does. Come on now, church. Amen. Think about it. We need to understand something. I hear a lot of arguments and a lot of debate about, well, God's put on me more than I can bear. That is impossible. Uh-oh. Are you hearing me? God will never allow more on you than you can bear. So when you say that, oh, God, I can't bear this anymore, you just lied to God. Preacher, I don't mean to, but it's the truth. It's how I feel. It's because you're walking by feelings and not by faith. Amen. I've been there when they told me my wife's liver was failing. I've been there when they told me for every good cell, she had 250,000 bad cells in her body. I've been there when they told me the worst. But can I tell you something? She's alive today, 16 years later, to the glory of God. Why? Because God is faithful. God, I'm going to go on record today. I believe it's November the 11th, 2018. I want to go on record saying this. God will not let anything come upon you that you cannot bear for his glory. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 goes on to say, but with the temptation also makes a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, just hold on. There's a way out coming. Amen. Just hold on. There's a way out coming. I know this past January, I would pray and seek God. I would fast and say, God, you've got to help us. Without you, God, I don't know the future of our church. And I trust you, God. And we held on. We learned to hold on and trust God and to believe God. And guess what? We are still a great church. We are a force that the devil has to reckon with. But can I tell you something? He will not bring anything against this church that our God cannot solve to his glory. Can I get a witness? Amen. Look to your neighbor and say, hey, you. Hey, you. Are you listening to me? God will not allow anything more than you can bear. Now, how many of you really believe that? Amen. How many of you have learned by experience? Hey, man, I've learned that, y'all. Hey, man, when my daddy was lying in the hospital and they told me he was never coming out, that was a trying time. But God showed up. Amen. You see, every time the devil shows up, God shows up greater when you look to him. You see, we need to understand that. In other words, God's going to open up a four-lane highway, amen, for you to drive your way through that wilderness journey of trials and temptations if you believe in God. How many of you really believe in God? Will you raise your hand? I heard a black preacher many years ago. I was just a young man evangelizing. I preached my heart out that night, and he said, you know, Brother Gwynn, always remember these words. God help me to remember that no matter what happens today, there is nothing that you and I can't handle. You need to write that down and put it on your refrigerator. Lord, help us to understand and remember that nothing is going to happen today that me and God can't figure out and get it done. Do you understand? You get that today? You can get a hold of God anytime. Any place, anywhere. Doesn't matter what it is, what hour it is. All you have to do is call on Jesus. Amen. He's our advocate. One philosopher said, how do I get through trouble? I kind of laughed at this when I found it. First, I try to go around it. Isn't that all of us? Secondly, I try to go under it. Thirdly, I try to go over it. But if that doesn't work, then God and I just plow through it. Amen. I'd rather go to that fourth step and quit worrying about the other three. Why try to go over it? Why try to go around it? Why try to go under it? Just go through it. In Jesus' name, amen. He's a mountain-moving God. I love this last scripture I'm going to share with you. It says in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Verse 23, they are new every morning, for great is thy faithfulness. Whew. This morning, taking my shower, I'm talking to God. And I'm thanking God for another day for this old man. I'm thanking God that he gives me the breath of life to keep me going. Amen. I thank God that my wife got home safe last night. I missed her old aggravating hide sometimes. And I was thinking, Lord, it's time for her to come home. I kept watching through the fence over there that's not there yet. And I'd see no white van. Finally, I looked around the red and they're here. You know, I got all excited. The van was over there. And, you know, I knew they were safe at home. They had the time of their life, y'all. Next year, we might have to have two or three vans. They had so much fun. And the ladies go down and have a good time. I'm going to tell you something. Remember one thing. If you don't remember anything else I tell you today, remember this one thing. God is faithful to those that love him. I've been pastoring for 32 years, been in ministry for 42. Youth ministry, bus ministry, prison ministry, all that good stuff. And you know what I've learned in those 42 years? God is faithful. All you got to do is serve him. All you got to do is love him. And you need that today. You need to hear that. I want you just to close your eyes for just a minute. And I want you to hear these words with your eyes closed. God is faithful to you. Now I want you to point your hand in a pointing shape like this. And I want you to say this with me. God is faithful to me. Point it back at you. You need to understand that. I don't know who's going through what, as Sister Ashton and Tommy come. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. But can I tell you something? The Lord said, I'll be with you even to the ends of the earth. I'm thankful for that today. Many of you are on new journeys. We have one family moved here all the way from Indiana. I think that's pretty cool. We have others that have come by way of visiting us from Gastonia and different places. But can I tell you something? As I watched that couple last night unload that big old van full of supplies, something kept speaking to my spirit. And God was saying, I'm faithful to you. I'm faithful to my people. Those supplies will go out to people.